This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Happy Monday, everybody. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula. Excited for another week, another blessed week.
Big week.
You got to turn your mic
big
on.
Week,
there
big
you
week, big week.
Yeah, we're into week 10. We're a few days away from what was a very frustrating Halloween matchup for your Texans. But you've gotten a few days away from it. I'm interested. Are we still feeling it? Are we able to move past that? Where are we? Let us know. Get involved with the program by hitting us up on the YouTube and the Twitch. Those things are available to you. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube, 610 Houston on Twitch, and of course the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Thanks to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. The number for that fan line, 713-572-4610. And of course, in addition to all those things, right, the place where a lot of Texans' minds are is that it's trade deadline Eve. So happy trade deadline Eve.
Happy trade deadline Eve.
As the trade deadline is tomorrow in the afternoon. I believe it's 4 p.m. I'll double check on that to make sure that I'm saying the right things here. Mm-hmm.
Might be 3 p.m. Central.
Okay. 3 p.m. Central.
Yeah.
Okay,
very 4 p.m. Yeah.
Okay. I'll make sure. I'll double check here in one moment. But ultimately, the big question that we have to ask ourselves is, are the Texans actually going to do anything? Because this is a huge turning point, or could be at least a huge turning point for your Texans. I don't know that anybody felt, I think everybody honestly has felt the worst about this team when they saw that performance mm-hmm. on Halloween at MetLife Stadium. And so, I mean, the worst that you felt could be still relatively positive. It could be like all the way in the dumps. But ultimately, I think that this has been a low point in the season thus far. And so the trade deadline offers you an opportunity to get a little bit of positivity, address some things that desperately need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So first of all, let me ask you out and out. Are the Texans going to do anything?
Well, look, to answer your first question about are we over Halloween yet? The answer is no, but I think in a weird way, that's kind of a good thing, because with the trade deadline tomorrow, trade deadlines passed, it was just kind of like, well, maybe the Texans can do this to get a little better, maybe that. But now the standard is so high that I feel like the Texans have to do it. Like it's almost a non-negotiable on the offensive line. You have to come up with something. Now, to be fair, the Texans did add a center/guard today to the practice squad. That's not what we're talking about, right?
Well, that is Jerome Carvin added to the practice squad. And I think there's some people that are wondering, could that be a sign of a possible lack of movement in that way at the trade deadline for the Texans?
No, I mean, it could be, but I feel like it should not be. This is the first time in a long time where the Texans enter the trade deadline, and it's not like, well, maybe this, maybe that. It's like you have to. You have to, for no other reason than your quarterback. Maybe the standards are not fair, because clearly there are other teams in the AFC and the NFL that are just flat better than the Texans, and maybe you can't, you ultimately can't get there, but you better try with this quarterback. And he's been sacked the second most of any starting quarterback, any quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he's been sacked 33 times. It's a non-negotiable for me, Reggie. You have to bolster the offensive line with the trade deadline approaching.
Yeah, you really need to. You know, I still always wonder about just the seeming lack of movement at the trade deadline when it comes to offensive linemen. It just seems like it does not happen frequently. But you saw Cam Robinson get traded this year, and you saw him play yesterday.
Yeah, right away.
And that worked out pretty well. Now, of course, he's a high-level player, right, and at tackle and those types of things. But I have a lot of hope. And honestly, I think hope is the best word I could use here because I'm not certain that they'll make a move because it is tough to get a team to give you an offensive lineman unless they're, like, really tanking it out. And even then, right, if there's a lineman that's good, there's not enough of them in this league. It's one of those places that – and one of those positions in the league that has a positional scarcity.
It's not easy, but it's easier. And the reason I say that is this is why the trade deadline was pushed back. For teams that are clearly out of it, that are clearly transitioning, to maybe be more inclined to make that deal. Hell, the Jacksonville Jaguars, there's reports that Brandon Scherff, five-time Pro Bowler, is going to be available. Oh, but he's in the division. I don't care about that. I don't care about that at all. I mean, the Jags are done. And the fact that the trade deadline is later makes it easier for you in division or any trade that you might have.
I do wonder, though, the idea of scarcity, all those types of things, and maybe like other things like being in division, being a prohibitive kind of barrier to getting a deal done. How far are you willing to go? Because I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I think where you are is guard by any means necessary,
yes,
or offensive line help by any means necessary. Obviously, I'm not trying to box in the creativity that could exist with a move by the Texans, but offensive line help by any means necessary. What are any means? Like, are you willing to give a really early round draft pick, like early round draft capital? How much are you willing to mortgage the future of the franchise to make sure that this offensive line looks good this year and is capable of giving you an opportunity to contend?
Well, I don't think they're going to do anything dumb, and nor would I encourage it. Anything above the fourth round, to me, is almost a non-starter.
So keep it to
fourth, fifth, sixth, depending on the caliber of player. Because keep in mind, as I mentioned, like some of these teams that are completely out of it, they need anything. They need draft capital in any way possible. Like they're a lot of rebuilding teams that will take whatever you can give them, but you can't be stupid with it. You say mortgage the future. I would draw the line at the fourth round. You know, that's about as high as I would get for a really big time player. But when you talk about mortgaging the future, CJ Stroud is the future.
Correct.
And he is the present.
Correct.
So you can't mortgage that either.
Sure.
You know, you can't mortgage CJ Stroud's health and confidence, et cetera, for the sake of, well, we don't want to give up anything more than, let's say, a sixth round pick. Well, no, then you're mortgaging CJ Stroud's future.
Correct.
And so you have to balance that.
And we've seen the real fear of that. You've detailed it on this very program. Some of the instances of him getting up a little slow, those types of things, right? Like it highlights just how much and how crucial and critical it is that you keep that man upright and then you keep him from, like, even with the movement and the capabilities of negotiating a pocket. Those give you more opportunities at stepping on an ankle or something like that happening and then ultimately losing your quarterback for a period of time that is just indefensible. So, like, I think the reason why I asked that and you got to the right place is, like, there's different ways of viewing the future, and the future exists right there as C.J. Stroud.
Is the future a third-round pick that's maybe going to be a guard that you develop? Is it going to be maybe a wide receiver? I'm just spitballing here. I know they have some young wide receivers. Or is the future C.J. Stroud? That's not even a contest. I mean, that's not even close. So when you talk about Morgan in the future, that's the future I'm worried about. And then here's the other part of it that I think, like, I feel like you have to make a deal here. Because if you don't, forget the messaging that they're going to give us and you and me and Figgy and fans and all that. What messaging do you have in that locker room? They know. They know in that locker room that, you know, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers are in the mix for a wide receiver. They're at the top of their division. I mean, just go down the list of teams that are contenders. They're all making moves, and if you don't, that's the messaging in the locker room is such that, wow, so these are the guys we're going to run with here that have given up the second most sacks ever. I mean, second most sacks in the season to C.J. Stroud. You can't do that.
Yeah, and especially when it feels like the messaging has also been, we need to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
And the need to get this right for 9 weeks has not, you know, demonstrated itself on the field. And so what are you willing to do? To what lengths are you willing to go to protect your quarterback, to actually get this done? And also, like, and again, mortgaging your future is a very heavy term. So I recognize that I put that on the table and that is that's kind of something that we're looking at here. But I think trading future assets, I think you have to be a little concerned, or you have to like kind of consider that even more so. And I hate the idea of being pot committed, but you're kind of pot committed. Like, you have a lot of investment in this season here.
Yes.
You've done a lot of short-term deals that obviously you're going to need to negotiate and figure out going forward. But you put a lot on the table to be a certain level of good this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that anybody involved is ready to let those hopes go, because it's not like you can't get there, but the big barrier to that is your offensive line has to play a lot better. And it feels like a big step in making that happen is bringing outside help.
All right, you have to ask yourself this question. And this is Nick Cassero asking it, and I'm sure he is. It's D'Amico Ryan's asking it, and I'm sure he is. Are we really serious? Are we really serious about making a run right now? Because if you are, I think the decision is easy. I think the decision is really, really easy. Because you have the defense. You talked about kind of pushing your chips in this season with shorter-term contracts and such. You absolutely are shorthanded at wide receiver. We'll see about Nico Collins this week, but you're shorthanded for sure with Stephon Diggs. So the only way you need to get you can get better and be serious about winning is to bolster the offensive line and help CJ Stroud play better football, because he's not playing his best football. I don't even think, and we'll get into this later, but I don't even think it's necessarily all his fault. It's not because of the pressure that he's under.
Yeah, Joseph on the YouTube, and of course, remember, YouTube is available to you. Text line of the 5-Hour Energy text line, 713-572-4610 is available to you. Joseph on the YouTube said, I don't think we're at F them pick stage, but we're pretty close.
Yeah. And
that's tough, because like you look at the AFC and you can get up there. You could contend with them if your offensive line is there and able to play at a certain level, I think.
I'm just worried that if we do say F them picks and get some offensive linemen in, and maybe it's deeper than just bringing one or two people in.
Oh, it's definitely deeper than that. And
so
that's
the one thing I'm worried about. So that's why I'm wondering if Nick Cassero is thinking maybe bringing somebody else that can hold it down in place of Kenyon Green just to get us there. Hopefully they can pick something up, because next year they're going to have to – I feel like they got to blow this up.
But the offensive line.
They can't blow that up right now.
Oh, yeah, no.
They got to get somebody else that can do something rather than Kenyon Green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to address this line now, but you also are going to have to address it in the offseason. So I think that's a great point. Like, that's a mitigating factor on going too far in on one particular or maybe multiple moves on the offensive line in the middle of the season. Matt Young of the Houston Chronicle put together kind of a short list of some of the guards that might be available.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking there, and we haven't even talked about any of the other positions where you might have to like
which get might be on the table
on the trade deadline. We might have to circle back around to that. But some of the names, Brandon Scherff continues to pop up. Jaguars, you mentioned him. One of the things is he plays right guard. And I saw someone on Twitter ask, like, is moving from right guard to left guard, like, how tenable is that? And I know offensive linemen have likened it to, like, wiping your keister with the other hand. apologies if that's too graphic. But, like, it's not impossible, but it just feels real weird.
Yeah.
Like the thing that I imagine, and I want to preface this and put a disclaimer, I am nobody's offensive lineman. I've never played offensive line. And if you had seen me play offensive line, you would have feared for the quarterback or running back behind me, right? But I imagine because guard is so much, you're more in a phone booth, right? Like, you don't have as much of the athleticism in the pass setting outwards in the same way that you do as a tackle. I imagine that it's a little bit more transferable. You're dealing a little bit more with power as opposed to like the speed and athleticism that you are on the tackle. So I imagine that it's a little bit easier to get that on the other side at guard as opposed to tackles, where you're really switching up a good amount, where your set is entirely different, back legs different, all of that. Not to say that, again, that it's going to be a perfectly easy move for guard, but I imagine that makes it a little easier for any of these guys that plays right guard that you might need to play.
And a guy like that, guard, you know, used to go into his right and his left, no matter, you know, from the right side or the left side, in terms of getting leverage, getting angles. I don't feel like it would be that big of a deal. I'm sure it's something you consider, but it's not something that would necessarily prevent you from doing anything.
All right, how about Wyatt Teller, who is a player for the Browns, turns 30 in 2 weeks, and one of the best two guards available, probably.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Wyatt Teller, we've heard Nate Davis.
Nate Davis has come up.
As another one. What I'm saying is I trust their judgment on this. What I'm worried.
You do, because that's an interesting question. Yeah. This is also the regime that has invested all of these draft capital and finances in this offensive line to get you to the production or the lack thereof that you're seeing right now.
But for sure, Laremy Tunsil got here before this regime. Tytus Howard was here before this regime.
You re-upped.
You did re-up. But they were also here, and I just feel like, you know, Kenyon Green was a bust. We know that. You know, Juice Scruggs, I feel like there's something there. I do trust their judgment in terms of judging talent, but I also feel like at this point, and I don't know how many different ways I can say this, like, you just cannot stay status quo, and I do think they know that. And so, you know, in terms of being able to coach them up, to make them fit and all that stuff with this squad, I mean, I feel like you almost have to. Yeah, I mean, not almost. You do have to.
Yeah, and to that line, I think that this text that comes in is a very good one from the 713. It's hard to judge a quarterback and an offensive coordinator when eight plays are when you can't execute.
Absolutely.
Right, and I think that that's also a great point, is you're doing a level of a judgment and evaluation. C.J. Stroud, not as much. I think you know who he is for the most part. Mm-hmm. This offensive coordinator, I think that there's a level of evaluation happening.
Offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. It has to all be on the table at this point.
And you can't get good answers if that variable of offensive line is such a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so fundamental to what you're doing.
Yeah, and another text that I think just put it very succinctly, 8 sacks, guys. They gave up 8 sacks.
In a single solitary.
In one game.
Yeah.
You can't just stand pat. You have to make a move, and it has to be at the trade deadline. So, it's just an impossible. You know, again, what message are you sending? Are you really a contender or not? Do you fancy yourself as a contender or not? Because that's the first decision you have to make. You know, you have to decide, do we have a chance? And I get how bad the division is, but you're going to win the division. So you have to point to how do we face off, how do we match up against these other teams right now? Not very well.
No, especially not. And we'll talk more about this weekend. You saw some contenders in the AFC, mm-hmm. and you go,
Oh, yeah.
You got to play a high level to be able to compete with some of them. And yeah, that's real concerning. Is it for you offensive line help, and then anything else? If nothing happens, you're fine. Because I think that there's probably one more position where I'd really want to see something happen.
Which one?
Cornerback.
That's it. Cornerback or safety.
Yeah, that's true.
Cornerback or safety for me.
But the reason why I keep going to cornerback, and I know Seth, this is one of his pet cats, one of the things that he's kind of really paid attention to, which is just you are seeing offensive coordinators pick at Jalen Petrie and man in that slot situation when he has to cover a really good receiver in that place. Like he does a solid job when he gets to operate almost kind of like a linebacker, when he can play in a zone and come forward, when he can come forward and you know, hit. Those things he does incredibly well. You've seen the what's the right way to say it? What's the nice way of saying this? You've seen the lack. I didn't find the nicest way, but I you know, with all due respect, you've seen the lack that exists in man coverage, especially against higher level wide receiver play. And going back to training camp, mm-hmm. that was visible, right? Like, this is not something that is new, but it feels more and more evident that you can't hide that because teams are seeking it out. And so if you give yourself, or you really need to give yourself, another option that you feel really confident in to play in that spot, and maybe they don't make a move. Maybe that's Jeff Okuda once he does get healthy. But how many of these players are we talking about once they do get healthy?
Yeah, exactly. You know? No, and look, they as good as the defense has been, they've given up a lot of passing touchdowns, and that's something that speaks directly to not just, you know, you're bringing pressure. The interior defensive line has played outstanding. The linebackers have more than made do, but you're giving up a lot of touchdown passes, some of the most in the league. That has to point to just one thing, and that's the secondary.
So trade deadline eve tomorrow is the day, 3 p.m. Central Time. You're right, Fig, 4 Eastern. As the deadline to get something done, and you've got to hope that they make moves in these ways. When it comes to offensive line help, it just feels like so much of what you want to do is dependent on the offensive line being at least better than this. Like, just the level that it has reached it can't be this bad, and you get much of anything done in the ways that you're trying to contend with. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Reaction Monday. How about the rest of the weekend? Outside of once we got past Thursday, just being able to sit and watch, it felt like it was a pretty good weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's break that down next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on a Reaction Monday where we can react to all sorts of things. We can react to Texans, which we don't necessarily need to. We already did that on Friday. So let's react to other things. And it seems like one of you on the 713 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line reacting to the Colts, actually kind of playing with the Vikings a little bit last night, saying, quote, big fan of Buckner from the Colts. He was doing the same thing to the Vikings. And he said, I don't know who it is. I'm a super fan of the Texans, but no joke, I would take the Colts D-line over ours, hands down, sorry. And
I don't
agree with that. Yeah, like, that is real prisoner of the moment stuff right there.
That's impressed with Buckner is what that is.
And he was good. Yeah, don't get really me wrong. Good. Like, yeah. he definitely turned that up to a different level. The Colts lose 21-13 there. But, which... We'll talk more about as we go along on the program, but I was I'm still thinking, give me Danielle Hunter mm-hmm. and Danico Autry with the strength and the potential defensive player of the year that is Will Anderson, right? The right. AFC defensive player of the month for October, Will Anderson. And you saw just how important that was. Sam Warren wrote a really interesting piece about just like how much more effective this team is with Will Anderson on the field. And that sounds like just intuitive, mm-hmm. but it looks different. And as much as DeForest Buckner does that, Will Anderson does that as well. Plus you have the other guys like Tim Settle and Autry and mm-hmm. obviously Danielle Hunter.
And look, I mean, it's cool to be impressed with what Buckner would look like yesterday. No question about that, but you take this offensive line, I mean, this defensive line all day long. It was a really good weekend though.
It was.
It was a good weekend for the Texans sitting at home.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
And you had the Colts losing, which first of all. And then elsewhere in the division, you also have the Jaguars losing, mm-hmm. Which is fun. Titans won, but, you know, it is what it is. Like, that's fine. But the Jaguars are one of those teams that both the Colts and the Jaguars kind of put up a better fight than I thought they would. And the Jaguars more numbers-wise than actually having the real opportunity because mm-hmm. the Eagles got out to a big lead in that game. And then ultimately the Jaguars had some turnovers and stuff late and were able to kind of get a couple of touchdowns in the third and fourth quarter, but still fell to the Philadelphia Eagles. You call them a not good team, 6-2. You think the Eagles are bad?
No. I was talking about the Jaguars.
Oh, okay.
The Jaguars, and of course, the Titans won their game against an awful team.
Barely. Overtime. Barely.
Yeah, barely in overtime in New England. But the Colts lost. The Titans, who cares? The Jaguars lost. Hell, the Cowboys are going to be facing here pretty soon. And they've got Dak with the hamstring. Didn't CeeDee Lamb get something too? Had a little injury as well. So, like, you know, it's setting up for the Texans in terms of the next couple of weeks outside of that little team in Detroit.
That's the thing.
to be pretty good.
Like, the division sets up real nicely. Mm-hmm. And this weekend highlighted that as we just talked about. Hell, you said this, man. Doug Peterson might not make it mm-hmm. to the end of the year the way that team is playing. However, out of the division, there's some real eyebrow raisers. I mentioned that the Lions and Packers, when we were drafting the weekend on Friday, that was one of the games that I found really interesting. And unfortunately, it was really interesting for all the wrong reasons mm-hmm. For your Texans. Man, this Lions team looks like they get after it. Like, especially get after the quarterback, right, without Aiden Hutchinson. Like, that is one of the things that I found to be really interesting is that, oh, they could still make this happen. Now they're blitzing in order to get some of that done. Tomorrow might be even scarier because...
No, they're going to get an end.
They get a pass rusher, and now they can go back to not having to blitz in order to get that pressure and affect the quarterback, in addition to the fact that Jared Goff is out here playing pretty damn well, all things considered.
Is 83% good? Isn't he completing like 83%, something like that?
Something like that. He is good.
That's good.
They had one. This was the first of their outdoor games, and they traversed that territory very well. Jared Goff doing the two-glove thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lions look downright terrifying.
They jumped into their first outdoor game, you know, in the deep end, like literally. That was a mess out there, and it didn't faze the Lions at all. But here's, you can almost counter it with what the Texans are doing now.
And someone confirmed CeeDee Lamb did get a shoulder injury.
Yeah, he had a shoulder. Dak with a hamstring. But like the Lions, they're in another stratosphere than the Texans. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, their offensive line is the best in the league.
Offensive line, best in the league. Defensive line is really, really good, even without Aiden Hutchinson, and they're going to add a piece. Their run game is ridiculous. Their quarterback does not, you know, miss passes. So they're in another stratosphere. But they are.
When he's protected.
When he's protected. But they are in a place where they're not just settling with what they have now. And, you know, Aiden Hutchinson's a big piece, and they're like, okay, we got to go get a replacement. They're going to go get a replacement. Contrast that with the Texans, who fancy themselves as a team that can contend, a win now team. And we have, you know, we have texters, and, you know, there's this thought out there of, well, you know, you don't want to bet the farm or the future, you know, sacrifice the future and all that. Well, what are you? Like again, that's the first thing. Like, the Lions are like, we are a contender. We're going to do everything we can. And the Texans, you know, supposedly a contender, not do everything you can?
Yeah, that's the question. I think that's a really interesting question to ask. What are you? Because it seems incredibly simple, but I think there's a level of depth underneath it. Because obviously the answer for a lot of people is coming in was, this is a contender, right? It was very easy. If not a contender, what is this team? Because it's not a building team necessarily. You do have some young talents, but you brought in a lot of veterans in order to, like, not skip steps, but, like, push you beyond some of those questions, right? You got some guys that are aging in some way.
Yeah, and that aren't going to be here.
And that are not going to be here. Mm-hmm. I don't know the things that, like, what are the developmental parts of this Texans team?
Developmental?
Yeah. Like, what do you look at this team and you go, this is developmental? Like, maybe you say the defense is secondary?
Now, that's an interesting question.
Like, is it the secondary?
Secondary, for sure.
Right, when you talk about Kalen Bullock, Kamari Lassiter. Outside of that.
Receiver, Tank.
Mechie.
Nico's still relatively young. Mechie Hutchinson.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Nico is young. He is not developmental.
Like, no. He's getting paid. He is.
He exists as a top five receiver,
but as a
in
group,
the league right now.
As a group, you've got relatively young, unproven pieces that are trying to prove something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that as far as we go here?
Not the line.
Right? So, like, I can't look at this and say, all right, well, you're building towards the potential of winning a championship. Like, you've kind of put yourself in that place where you should be going for a championship. Yeah. And so, if you did not move towards that, I don't know what the benefit of this season would be, if that makes sense.
Right. The A32 says the Texans need to focus on the construction of their roster for the 2025 and 2026 seasons. They're not red. They're, you know, we just talked about it. That's not what this roster is. This roster is built to win now, and that's why when you compare and contrast what the contending, forget the Lions, look at the Ravens, look at the Steelers. They're going to go out and get a wide receiver. I mean, it's a win now. Must go in on it. And, you know, the whole thing with the division is pretty much a wrap. So you have to look bigger than that. You have to look beyond that.
Yeah. And if you're planning on having any level of contention, you're going to need to do it, because you look over at, like, the Ravens.
Right.
Who, I mean, Lamar Jackson is out here just smoking things. He's at a 1,114 passing DYAR, defense adjusted yards above replacement. The gap between number one, which is Lamar Jackson, and number two, which is Jaden Daniels, is the same gap between number 2 Jane Daniels and number 16 Jordan Love. That's how high level of quarterback play Lamar Jackson is giving them. In addition to, oh yeah, that's right, potential offensive player of the year,
right,
Derrick Henry. Like, yeah, you're going to need to get yourself going, and some of that is going to be addressing some of those weaknesses at the trade deadline. And a fair question comes in from the 832. The Texans got like $5 million in cap. What can they do at the deadline? And shout out to Troy, Texas cap. $5.5 million is actually closer to the exact number of projected cap space. However, that's not entirely prohibitive, because we've seen teams even in this trade cycle eat a lot of the money on the deal in exchange for more draft capital or what have you. And so I think the Texans, and this is why you're going to have to really make the decision, like how committed are you to the possibility of winning this year? Because if the answer is yes, you might have to pay a little bit extra premium to get the player that you want, and to have the team that that's sending you the player eat a lot of the money in order to make it happen.
The thing I'm worried about that is, I'm wondering if let's say they do that and they are committed to winning, are they good enough to beat the Ravens? Are they good enough to beat the Chiefs? Because
if you protect the quarterback, we know what he can do. That's my answer.
I mean, will that move be good enough to beat to stop a Baltimore Ravens team, though? Because I'm sure C.J. Stroud could do some things, but I'm wondering, like, if you're going to eat all that money, if you're going to give up this draft capital and lose to the Ravens again, or lose to the Chiefs, then you're kind of back at square one, because you did exactly what you did last year.
I started the show with, you don't have a choice. You have to. For not just for C.J. Stroud's sake and health, but because of what we're talking about right now. Like, you're built for now. So what is your choice? Just to sit on your hands?
And it's worth also remembering that Deontay Johnson, who is a good player, I'm not going to call him a great player by any means. Mm-hmm. The Ravens add him for like a pick swap.
Yeah.
Sixth and fifth, right? So you're getting players that are going to be impactful players for teams, that are going for day three picks. Mm-hmm. So it's also worth remembering kind of the pick range that we're talking about. But yeah, like, I understand what you're saying. This defense has shown itself to be an elite level defense, especially if you get your guys healthy. Now, that is a big if.
Yeah.
I recognize that. And there's a lot of guys that we're looking at. We're going, hey, do we have information? Hell, even Nico Collins is eligible to return this week.
Yeah.
Are we certain that he will? And I'm not saying that to sow doubt or discord, just acknowledging the fact that what have we heard to the ends that Nico will definitely return?
No.
Christian Harris, still radio silence on that front. Like, we were assured that we
radio
would
radio silence.
We were assured that
let us know.
They would let us know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything. Have you?
Mm-mm.
Aziz, we haven't heard much on that. He's kind of still been out there. Jimmy Ward. Like, there's a lot of, I understand that, but when this team is largely healthy, not even entirely healthy, this defense has really stood on its head. And if you can get the offensive line to a place where now you can actually do a few things, you have the talented players to make some things work. Joe Mixon has been out here giving you a 100 and a touchdown every damn time, regardless of what you have. Like, you have a lot that you're capable of. There's a few things you need to address, and one of those, I think, is offensive line at the trade deadline. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Reaction Monday. Coming up next, inspired by what was an incredible play in that Eagles-Jaguars game, what for you is the most incredible athletic thing that you have seen? The most incredible feat of athleticism you've seen in a sporting event? Let us know. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Time for the question of the day. What is the most incredible feat of athleticism that you've seen at a sporting event? Let us know on the 5 Out Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. This is inspired by Saquon Barkley just pulling something out of his keister that I could not imagine. The thing that, you know what? Let's go ahead and give him the audio.
Because
I was like, first of all, I want you to hear how the astonishment, the amazement that people that watch people do incredible things in the sports realm had in trying to describe what was happening on the radio call.
Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking, still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and jumps down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
I haven't either. That was like Matrix kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That was wild.
The backwards hurdle that was heard around the NFL world that I'm sure you'll see on many of those montages that the NFL will put together for various purposes. And the thing for me was not just that he hurdled backwards, not just the audacity, but that's crazy, right, to do that in a real game. That was like the end of a combo, right? He's like, I'm using the spin move, and all right, I'm going to jump over you backwards, right? Just... The game is too easy for me, and I must make it more difficult by jumping over you backwards. Now, Saquon is insane athletically, and I imagine that if you're a New York Giants fan, that was one of those moments where you just wanted to cut off the TV, get under the blanket, maybe cry a little bit, and go to sleep.
You know all those videos we've seen over the years of him doing those squats? That's why. Yeah. That was the squats in action. Right. That was incredible, man. That was unbelievable. So what is yours?
All right. So the one that came to mind immediately for me, speaking of those kind of montages that the NFL did, and maybe I was stuck in the NFL vein because there's a lot of different sports where you have incredible athleticism that pops up. And shout out to the Twitch because Jay Clemmer got it without remembering exactly what it was. He said that tight end for the Bengals that did it, doing a front flip over the defensive back to get in the end zone. He was a wide receiver, and his name is Jerome Simpson. I'll never forget his name.
Yeah, I remember.
I will never forget his name because who the hell do you think you are, first of all? Like, running towards the end zone.
And then he did a pose.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, because he landed it as if he was in the Olympics.
He stuck the landing.
He did the vault in the Olympics. And then he stuck the landing, and you know he showed to the Russian judges, right? Like it was insane that you're going, and someone's about to meet you at the pylon. Instead of thinking I'm gonna lower my shoulder and go through him, or I'm gonna stop him
in the moment,
he just goes, "How about a front flip?" And lands it right on the sideline, 2 feet on the paint, and then for good measure. Why hands?
Yeah,
let
man.
You know I stuck the landing. Just wild.
I didn't think of that one, but it's a great one. I thought of the other one you're going to say, so I'm not going to steal your thunder. But the first one that popped into my mind was Beast Mode. Beast Mode in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, that was power.
Beastquake.
Speed. The Beastquake, yes. Balance. I mean, just the most athletically freakish thing ever. And then another one that like immediately I thought of was had nothing to do with football. Well, it had something to do with football. Bo Jackson climbing the wall.
Yeah.
God almighty.
There's so many athletic catches that you can maybe like bring up.
He took 4 steps
up a wall.
On the wall.
He turned off gravity.
Remember that one, Figgy?
Yeah.
He's going, it goes all like, what is going on here? How do you do that? That one for sure.
Absolutely. Fig, is there one that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, the one I thought about, it was actually a basketball one.
Mm-hmm.
It was LeBron James. I got to say nothing else. But it was one play. I forgot who it was, but somebody tried to throw him an alley-oop, and they threw it way too high.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a J.R. Smith.
Yeah, this mofo still went up there and got it and slammed it. Like anybody else, it would have been out of bounds.
It's yeah.
Like, it would have been a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
This dude, like his tippy finger, he got all the way up there and slammed it down. I'm just like, man, that is incredible, man.
You know, the Texans have one. I'm not going to say it's in that category, but remember DeAndre Hopkins against the Cowboys with the 3 spins that he did?
I always love it when, like, one spin is just, it's utility.
Yeah.
Right? When folks are just like, I'm going to spin my way down the field. Two or three spins, always hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Especially when they're effective. Because after a couple of them, I'm like, I know you dizzy right now.
And then the other one was a college football one, and it was really, you could have picked any number of plays, but it was the one Reggie Bush against Fresno State.
Yeah.
Full speed down the sideline, like full speed, and then whoop, stops, goes to his right. Like it was video game stuff, and then scores, of course.
Some other ones that come to mind for me when I think of it, because with athleticism in football, sometimes we limit ourselves to what the nominally called skill positions, but there's a lot of big dudes that I find wildly athletic, like how you got 300 pounds moving like that. That's insane to me. And one of those, y'all remember Larry Allen?
Man.
Troy Aikman throws an interception, and Larry Allen, he just walks down. a man that he has no business walking down.
And it was kind of a meaningless touchdown in that game, wasn't it?
I believe so, but I'm not going to pretend like I recall. Like, I did not watch that live, I don't think.
Yeah.
But watching the video, I will run it back multiple times because why are you doing that as a as an offensive tackle?
Yeah.
Why are you running down, I think, a linebacker?
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable stuff.
Mm-hmm. Another one that came to my mind, this was kind of, this was a couple years ago, but DK Metcalf running down Buda Baker.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chase downs are fun.
Yeah, that one, to me, that's an all-timer right there, man. That should have been a touchdown. And eventually, they end up stopping him. So they never scored a touchdown.
I can't believe I didn't think of that one.
Yeah, just good effort. He ran him down, man. Like
straight line speed, baby.
Yeah, that
was way back.
That was like a cop running at their criminal. Man. He was just on it. I'm like, oh, he ain't about to catch him.
Yes, he is.
Caught him, man. Red-handed.
There's very few times where you get the opportunity to see just straight line speed in football. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why the 40 is so hilarious, because it's like, it's wildly overrated. There's not a lot of instances where you're just going to get to see someone run straight line. But if there was ever a time where you got to do it, that was the dude that I want to see it.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf running in a line, baby.
How about Vince Carter jumping over a 7-foot dude?
Yes. Yeah. The French cat.
Yeah.
In the Olympics. That was the third one that I had in mind as well. Is that, yes. Right? Yes. That was it. Vince Carter.
That dude was every bit of 7 feet.
Absolutely clearing.
Whoop.
don't do that, pals. He said, ain't no real cops running that fast, Figgy.
Oh, man.
I mean, you're probably right, but I mean.
No, you might have that one. You might have one.
You seen that video, that one?
It was one that I think it was a black dude.
Yeah.
He jumped out the car. Man, he running like DK Metcalf, man.
Yeah.
Caught whoever it was.
Yeah.
Some other incredible feats of athleticism as we salute Saquon Barkley's backward hurdle that happened yesterday. 979 said has to be the height that Simone Biles reaches on her floor performances. Incredible.
No, that's facts, 100%. Man. I seen that in this past Olympics.
Yeah.
I'm like, she got up that high off of flat ground?
Didn't they say it's like over 10 feet?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yes. Yeah, it just looked like a glitch. It looked like a glitch in the Matrix, man. How she just got up that high?
Yeah.
Somebody
said,
don't forget Andre's touchdown running over and dragging Cardinals defenders into the end zone. That's always fun, too.
Yeah.
You just see a guy toting folks for multiple yards. Just like, hey, you want to be a backpack? I can make you a backpack. That's fine. Some other ones that came in. I do love these ones, which are like personal stories.
Mm-hmm.
Of you remember that legend that I saw at high school one time? 281 said, watching Sam McGuffey at Sci Fair jump over a safety who was standing up and run for a touchdown.
He was an internet sensation there for a while with all his hurdles and everything else. That one, people remember that one. Yeah,
it's always some hood athletic dudes, man. Like the one I think about personally is Earl Boykins.
Yeah.
Who was like, he was like 5'3", 5'5", played in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
That dude had hops like crazy, man. Like I couldn't. He was the one reason that made me feel like I could get to the NBA. I'm like, somebody my height.
If he can do it,
I could do it. That was not true.
Yeah. But you had that hope for a moment.
Yeah, for a moment.
Earl Campbell smashing the Rams.
Yep.
Let's see. Nate Robinson dunk over Dwight Howard in the dunk contest. And someone said, scratch that. I'm a Rockets fan, but does anyone remember Kevin Johnson's dunk on Olajuwon?
Yes. That's on the list for sure. And then James Harrison's interception for 100 yards in the Super Bowl.
And of course, I don't have to, but I'm going to give this person a little bit of credit here. They said, most amazing thing was once watch the Texans not give up a sack in a game.
All right.
Now we're just being mean.
Yeah, all right.
Now we're just being mean. It always comes back to that for us.
Oh, and Ken Caminiti throwing a guy out from a line down position. Yep. Seeing dudes throw from like places that they're throwing like 60 yards on a knee or just like, hey, I'm on my back and I'm just going to throw this.
Somebody did that.
Mahomes. Sideways. Remember that one?
The horizontal.
Didn't C.J. Stroud do that? I think he was like falling down and threw a long pass or something like that. It might have been last year. I can't remember.
We're so used to incredible play. We're like, one of those times he did something crazy.
Exactly.
Shaq breaking backboards, Tiger Woods winning the Open with a broken knee. A lot of incredible athleticism. It's one of the things that I come to sports for is just seeing people do amazing things. And you got another one of those yesterday with Saquon Barkley just deciding to, after spinning and juking folks, he's like, why don't I add a backwards hurdle?
I was going
to
say that. What was that, Gary Wilson? On Thursday?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
How could you forget?
Man.
Just a one-hand grab where he gets his shin
made
down.
Made the Michael
somehow,
Jordan sign.
Yeah.
Hell, Beckham.
Odell Beckham, yeah, with the one-handed, like, three-finger grab.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk more about the weekend that was in the NFL. We'll go around the NFL next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.